Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to introduce our guest for the day, Vanessa Peters, MD. Vanessa, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, very, very excited to talk about your story and your passions with real estate and medicine, et cetera. So everyone, Vanessa Peters, MD, is the founder of VMD Investing and has been investing in real estate for 12 years in single family homes, commercial real estate, apartment communities, short-term rentals, self-storage, land entitlements, and manufactured home parks. So really excited to hear more about your journey. Obviously, your first career is in medicine. Will you please give us a bit of background as to how you got into real estate and why?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been in medicine now for longer than I'd like to admit. I've been in my current position for 19 years. I just had my anniversary, my 19th year anniversary, and that's straight out of residency. So I came here to San Diego, where I live and practice, in 2002 for right from Canada, where I did all my training and everything. So I'm kind of loyal. I like to stay in the same place and not move around a lot. But about 5 years ago, I started to feel that things weren't progressing as I had expected they would at this point in my career, where I'm at my kind of peak earning, late 30s. You know, I have a child and saving a lot of money, working hard, doing well, but realizing that if I have to, you know, I'd like to retire and not have to scrimp and save too much at the end. I did some kind of like spreadsheet work and graphed my net worth. And I was disappointed, you know, that I was saving so much. And I thought I would be farther along than I was at that point in my life. And it just made me sit down and have a hard look at like, okay, how long do I want to work? How hard do I want to work? And do I really want to keep trading my time for money? And so it was sort of an epiphany that I had when I was on a vacation about 5 years ago, having a great time with my family. And we were riding a bike around a lake and it was just so idyllic. And I just had this realization like, oh my gosh, I haven't been taking enough time for me and my family to go places and do stuff because I'm so busy working. Many people don't know this, but as physicians, we only get paid when we work, unless you're in a salary position, which is pretty rare. We get paid, you know, productivity, which means we see patients, we get paid. Sure, you get paid time off or PTO, but it's actually unpaid because it reduces the amount that you're going to get paid eventually. Mm-hmm. And so there's a built-in discouragement to taking time off. And I've always been one to take a fair amount of time off, but mm-hmm. I just felt like there had to be a better way. And saving half of my income just wasn't working. I saw my money, my net worth. Half. I was saving a lot to the point where my husband was like, okay, you need to like take it easy because you're like being kind of overly frugal. Let's put it that way. And so, you know, but I was doing my best to save a lot of money. And I wasn't doing a lot of other investing. I didn't know too much about any real estate type stuff, but my net worth was going up in a fairly straight line. And that was after like 5 years of this, I realized this is because I'm saving so much, not because of my investments paying off and my money making money. And the stock market was doing well at that time. It still is. Still didn't really give me that tailwind that I was looking for. That kind of like my net worth should be going up like this, not like coming in a straight line. And I realized later, looking back, mm-hmm. that what I was looking for was compound interest. And what I know also now is that compound interest doesn't work in 5 years. You know, it takes 25 years. Well, shoot, I'm in my mid-30s. I don't mm-hmm. want to wait 25 years for this to work. And so I said to myself, I need to find a better way to invest my money outside of the stock market. And I just inherently knew, intuitively knew that real estate was where I wanted to go with that. And so I really had to search very hard to find something that would work for me in real estate, because in, you know, 2016, 17 in San Diego County, there wasn't anything you could buy here that would cash flow. And so I had to keep looking because I was doing all the reading, going online, bigger pockets, going to meetups, et cetera, and had trouble finding anything that would cash flow or that was affordable or would make sense for me in my comfort zone. And so most California investors, when they can't buy it here, they go and buy somewhere else like Memphis or Kansas or somewhere that things are cheaper and they might cash flow out there. But I wasn't happy with that idea of earning or buying a house that was all mine, all my responsibility, very far away. So I kept looking and I kept looking. Eventually, I stumbled across syndications. And when I realized the tax benefits, the protections as a limited partner, the returns, and I was like, okay, wow, this is amazing. And so I'd kind of jumped all in into syndications and doing apartment investing at the beginning. And now I've diversified into lots of different things. But that's how I got my start in real estate investing.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, really powerful story. And I like how you broke a lot of that down. Will you give us an idea of what it was that was so compelling about syndications? I mean, I know you touched on it, but how does it compare to some of the other opportunities that you were looking at more specifically?
Sure, absolutely. When I was looking at doing the out-of-state turnkey investing, which is what many people do, is they buy a house dirt cheap for like $100,000. You know, you can even pay cash for it. And then you get the cash flow. So, you know, that's all good. And what concerned me, though, was that I did already have a rental home that I bought in 2008. And so I know that there's stuff that has to be done when you have a house. You need to keep track of the insurance and the mortgage and the taxes, et cetera. And also the idea that it's one door, and if it's empty, then it's 100% empty. Also the fact that I'm completely responsible for that house and anything the tenants might do to it, and I have no control. And so that really bothered me. Yes, I would get some tax benefits, et cetera, from it. But the idea that one big repair could wipe out my profits for like a year or two was also disconcerting. And the thought of like, how am I going to scale this? I didn't even know about the rule that you can't have more than 10 mortgages on your name. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to get 10 of those because that seemed like a really big hassle to me. And I know there's ways around it. You can get a VA or helper, bookkeeper, et cetera. But to me, it seemed too risky. And it seemed like there wasn't enough benefit to it. You know, if I was going to make a ton of money, then of course I would take that on. But it seemed like for, you know, a couple $100 a month, if you mortgage it, especially, you're going to get a couple $100 a month at the most.
Totally.
That's not really going to move the needle for me. I really felt like, you know, to replace my income as a physician, I need things that are going to provide better income. And so when I discovered syndications, which I ignored for a while on Bigger Pockets, when I would see it pop up, I'm like, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that is. So I'm going to ignore it. And then a doctor posted about it. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll check it out. And when I'm like, let me just check it out. And it was like, oh, really? And then I went online. I did some research, couldn't find hardly anything about it. This was a while ago. I think it's probably easier to find stuff now. But then I had to talk to somebody. I had to get on the phone and speak with a syndicator. And when they explained to me the situation, how it works and the returns, at first I was like, there is no way. This is a scam. This is not going to work. It's got too good to be true. And so what I decided to do before investing in my first deal in Texas is I flew out to Texas and I viewed the property and spoke with the property manager and the operator. And I did a criminal background check on everybody. And then I was like, okay, this is for real. I can make 8% preferred return and expect to double my money in 5 years. And so I said, let's do it. So I, you know, wired my 50K and crossed my fingers that it was going to get where it was supposed to go. And then when the checks started coming in, the monthly, you know, distributions, I was hooked. And so that was when I started investing in mobile home parks, self-storage, and some other stuff, as well as multifamily, and moved money out of my 401k as much as I could, got a self-directed plan, a self-directed 401k. And, you know, because the beauty of it, and it's like owning your own real estate, except without all the hassles. So you do get that tax benefit from it, which is really important for a high W-2 earner.
So for you, why did you like to move your money out of your 401k and into a self-directed to be able to invest in real estate? Because it sounds like the stock market was going up still at this time.
Yeah, and it still is, right? And everybody says, oh, it's going to crash, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. But what I don't like about the stock market is that I don't have control over it, which I don't have control over syndication either. But for me, investing in a tangible asset is one way that I feel really secure, because a large apartment building, you know, nothing that bad is going to happen to it that I would lose all my investment. So, you know, when I talk to my investors, they ask me, well, what are the risks? And I said, well, you know, there's a risk that the deal might not perform as well as you expect. Maybe you won't get the returns that were projected, but the chances of losing your initial capital investment are almost zero unless you're dealing with a bad actor, someone who is a criminal, you know, and is doing a Ponzi scheme or something like that, where they would take their money and run to the Cayman Islands or something like that. So, you know, I feel that it's very secure, inflation protected, and that's a big deal right now because we all know that inflation is going up, and investing in tangible assets protects you against that because they keep going up as well. The stock market, it looks good on paper, but it's not real to me until I take it out. And I just turned 46, you know, so I'm not taking it out anytime soon. And so that's a long time for me to just kind of hope and pray that it keeps going up and stays that good.
Totally. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You know, in talking to other physicians, what do you find the general mentality is? And maybe it's, of course, I'm sure there's varied mentalities within the space with regards to investing and developing net worth, et cetera.
I find that the majority of physicians are quite conservative in their mindsets, and they also don't want to put a whole lot of time into it. So they often have a trusted advisor and they listen to them, and they don't really want to deviate from that. You might explain to them, hey, there's this opportunity. And I think many of them are very shy. They're gun shy in terms of getting taken advantage of, you know. So, you know, there's been plenty of people who have taken advantage of high net worth individuals, including doctors, for, you know, shady deals, for example. And so I think everyone's heard about something like that happening to somebody else. And so if something's a little bit off the beaten track, they are a little bit like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do that. But there's a growing handful of doctors who are very into this and have side gigs, are entrepreneurial, are digging into investing and stuff like that. And that's the group that I'm building. And, you know, the book that I wrote is targeted to busy professionals, you know, for passive real estate. Because the truth is that while I love real estate and I'm spending my free time on it, other people couldn't care less. They just want to get a return for their money, you know, and they want it to be safe and they want it to be secure. And I invest alongside my investors in almost every single deal because my goal is to become financially free. It's not to become a syndicator and leave medicine and do that and then have a new job. So
this show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, for sure. Makes a lot of sense. So what would you say are some of the things that kind of help physicians sort of shift their viewpoint to being more interested in investing in syndications?
Having an open mind and willing to say, just read my book or watch, listen to a podcast or watch a webinar, you know, I'd be happy to walk people through deals to be like, hey, here's an example of a deal, or here's the deal that I've already done that I exited. And so they can see how the full cycle works. And I think that can spark their interest because they realize it's not shady. It's not risky. Everybody knows that buying a single family house is a good investment, right? I mean, that's pretty much well known that, you know, real estate is a good thing to invest in.
Yeah.
And they understand the concept of I buy a house, I fix it up, I sell it for a profit, you know, a flip. Everybody knows what a flip is, especially with all the home improvement shows and stuff like that. But they also know that they don't have time to do that and they don't really care to or have the skill set. So this is a way to participate in a big flip, yeah, honestly. And it allows you to, you know, profit from other people, yeah, doing all the heavy lifting and such. So that's how I try to come at it, at an angle of a place that they already understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, so tell us about your book. What is it called and who is it geared towards?
So it's called The Busy Professional's Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing, A Physician's Path to Building Wealth, Creating Financial Freedom, and Leaving a Legacy. And if you're putting this up on video at all, there's the cover. It's available on Amazon. It's a short book. Just takes a, probably a few hours to read, 3 hours maybe. it's basically a primer on syndication. And so when I wrote it, it was basically the conversations I was having over and over with new people to explain what I was doing and what type of investments these are. It explains what is a syndication? What are some of the glossary of terms that you're going to hear thrown around in a deck? What is a deck? And what kind of returns I can expect, and also the benefits of investing, such as tax improvements and stuff like that. I dig into a little bit of the three asset classes: multifamily, self-storage, and mobile home parks.
Okay, awesome. Love it. Okay, great. So I also know that you're pretty excited about working on land entitlements right now. Would you give us an overview of what that looks like for you and what's compelling about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did an analysis of my portfolio last year and kind of the pie graph of all my investments. And I had a lot of multifamily. I mean, I like multifamily, and these are the operators that I know and work with. And so I invest alongside my investors, and I've got a lot. Then I met an operator who was working with land entitlement. And at first I said to myself, oh, I don't do land. You know, I've heard about land flipping, and it's high volume, low profit, and it's high touch. You know, it's a lot of work. And so it didn't sound like anything I wanted to do or bring to my investors. But then I dug in and learned a little bit more about them. And this group actually takes completely raw land and gets it permitted and ready for national home builders to build on. And so there's a couple words for this. You can call it land banking, land entitlement, paper lots, or permitted lots. All those kind of mean the same thing. But the process of taking a plat of land, we're not talking about one lot. We're usually talking about a minimum of 500 lots. And so it's a big piece of land, and it's purchased by this group. Mm-hmm. And then they do all of the paperwork that is required to get it ready to be built on. And I did give a talk on this recently, and I swear it's so boring. It's even hard to give a talk on it, because it's like zoning, analysis of the soil, doing an engineering survey, doing an environmental survey, doing a egress and ingress of the area, going to the city council, giving talks to them, speaking with a lot of government agencies. And so there's all these boxes that need to be checked. It's not terribly expensive to do it. It's a subspecialty market, and you need to know your microeconomic area, and you need to know the people in that area. So for example, we work a lot in near Charlotte, North South Carolina. And so that area, they know the people at the city. They know the people that can help them with this. They know the engineers, et cetera, because otherwise it takes a long time to get through this kind of stuff. And it's not really do it yourself. So what they do is it takes 9 to 18 months to get a large plot of land permitted. And before they even buy the land, they make sure that it will be permitted. And so that's how you de-risk the deal, is by making sure that there's nothing really wrong with it before you buy it. And so there's an extended period of contracting where you work, do your due diligence, and you kind of have to pay up for all that. You haven't bought the land yet, but it's under contract. And you want to make sure there's no toxins in the soil or nuclear waste or something weird like that, or giant boulders that would make it absolutely impossible to put houses on. So once they are sure that it's going to be a good piece of land, then they go out to the national home builders and ask for offers. And so they usually have an offer on land before they even buy it. And so an LOI, you know, with an amount. And often some of the home builders will actually compete with each other to give higher amounts. So it's pretty profitable. And so that's the basic.
What's the risk of not working out? Like, you know, like, is it like a 10% chance that, I mean, based on your experience, that the land won't work out and you've invested upfront, you know, in the studies?
Right. So it's hard to say, you know, in terms of a percent. I don't know what the risk would be. They try to pick land that's, you know, been known to be good. But the upfront costs range from like $100,000 to $500,000 that you're kind of putting in upfront. So that would be the money at risk if the land ended up not working out, you know, which is better than $6 million, you know, if you bought the land and found that it wasn't, you know, buildable. But the reason that this niche has appeared is important to comment on, because most people would say, well, don't the national home builders just do all of this? Don't they buy the raw land and get it ready and then build on it? And the answer is that they used to. And so when the housing crash occurred in 2008, many of the national home builders had a very difficult time because they had all this raw land, and instantly nobody wanted new homes. You know, we had a flood of foreclosures on the market. All the housing was dropping. Mm-hmm. Nobody was building new homes at that moment in time. And so they had a bunch of worthless land on their books, which isn't good for them. So internal corporate structures have changed, and almost all of the big builders now have a rule that they basically don't like to buy raw land. They want to buy it when it's ready to be built on. And so all the folks that do this work called land asset managers, many of them don't have jobs anymore, or they only have a couple in these big home builder companies, but it's very cumbersome, takes a long time. It's, you know, it's a bureaucracy. So it's nice to be a nimble little company that has hired these kind of people to do the process as quickly as possible.
Very cool. Okay. And what did the returns look like for your investors when they're getting into these types of deals?
So the funds that we have, it's a $50 million fund and it's an evergreen fund. So it's going to keep going as long as it's a profitable niche to be in. And incidentally, I think almost 4 million homes short nationwide currently. So there's a very large need for single family affordable houses. And we're in the market of affordable houses in the $300,000 range, mostly in the Southeast. So the returns for the investor is an 8% preferred return and then profit sharing on top of that. So we are anticipating 8% profit sharing plus 8% preferred return per year, which is a 16% cash flow. Now, I love multifamily. And like I said before, I'm in a ton of it, but it doesn't provide that kind of cash flow. Mm-hmm. So it's good to diversify your portfolio in my mind so that you have some things that maybe have zero cash flow, but they pay really well at the end, like a construction project mm-hmm. if you're into new development mm-hmm. or something that is in the middle like multifamily, which provides a pretty decent cash flow, but then you get a big chunk at the end of equity versus something like this, which is more of a cash flow play, meaning there isn't a big chunk of equity at the end. You're getting it all during the time. And of course, that increases your IRR because you're getting it all that year. Your internal rate of return is going to be what you received that year, 16%, mm-hmm. or we're actually targeting a little bit higher, but we're going to start with 16%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. And definitely, I definitely like that model as a not necessarily always needing to wait for the end of the deal to get that second big chunk of money. So I like that a lot. Very cool. Okay, well, I know you're passionate about diversification and obviously, you know, you've had a lot of multifamily. Now you're in land entitlement. I know we mentioned a number of other asset classes. Like, what else do you want to say about that?
So I'm also really currently involved in self-storage projects, which is a series of projects, and it's not your usual value add, which I really like because, as everybody knows, the whole industry is getting more difficult to find good deals. And when we had the tailwinds from 2012 and on, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's getting these excellent returns. It's slowing down. It's getting harder to find deals. There's more people buying, you know, in the smaller markets that aren't the big buyers. So with all these syndicators out there looking for deals, it's harder and harder to find a good deal. And cap rates are getting compressed as well. So I'm working with an operator quite closely who does self-storage conversion projects. And they take industrial buildings, like say an old Kmart or an old Walmart, and they convert it to a Class A two-story climate controlled self-storage. And so they have a really great team and they can convert these in about a year from just basically an empty industrial building to a very nice new facility. So I've been involved in all kinds of self-storage, value add, and also ground up development. And ground up is, I shy away from it a little bit because I've been burned a couple of times and it takes longer than you think. And as your money is just sitting there not earning anything because they can't get the permits or they can't get the whatever figured out, it's frustrating. So this is already zoned. It's already in place. It's a shell. And then they just go in and do their thing. And so we're doing a series of investments in the Southeast, and actually not just in the Southeast, also in Illinois. And these are different because they don't provide any cash flow for the first 3 years because it's construction. But in the third year, we typically try to give about 70 to 75% of your capital back. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, when I get the majority of my money out of a deal, and then I still continue to earn, like I have all of it in the deal, then that de-risks the deal for me and I'm playing with house money. So that's another type of diversification.
For sure. Yes. Makes sense. Yeah. Very interesting because we are going to have more and more of these big box stores available as, you know, with e-commerce, et cetera. So interesting to hear their next, what they're going to become. And I wonder what about the parking lots, because you don't need such big parking lots for self-storage. Do you have any thoughts on that based on your deals?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So if it comes with a big parking lot as part of the land that they purchase, then they can convert that to portable self-storage, RV parking, and boat parking. I mean, it's amazing how much people will spend to park their toys.
Well, and it, I mean, because it also, it protects them, right? Because, you know, if they're being left out in the sun or the weather, then they, it makes sense also from just a longevity point as an investment in your big toy or whatever.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, lots of interesting stuff, Vanessa. Thanks so much for sharing so much of your story and investing advice. Please Would you share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Oh, absolutely. You can go to my website at vmdinvesting.com. And on the top right, there's a button that says Legacy Club. That's basically my club if you want to join, and it's free. Just sign up and you'll get a couple of introductory emails, and then you're on my list and you'll hear when I send out any new deals. I should send out a newsletter once a month, but I usually don't. So don't worry, you're not going to get spammed or anything like that. I should send out more emails than I do, but that's the way to keep in touch with the deals. If you'd like to contact me personally and chat, I would love to set up a phone call. My email is vanessa@vmdinvesting.com. And I have a calendar link on my website as well.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Vanessa's stuff. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. For tons of free educational content to further your success.